Lawmakers held a public hearing this week on whether or not to grant paper products company Kimberly-Clark a $70 million incentive package. The company has said one of its Wisconsin plants in Neenah will close, but another plant in Fox Crossing that employs about 400 people could stay open if the incentives are approved. The news comes as another sign of Wisconsin's struggling paper and paper products industry, and our next guest says warning signs should have been heeded a long time ago. Tom Nelson is Outagamie County Executive and a former Democratic state lawmaker. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be in the program.
Well, before we get into this incentive debate going on today, talk to us some about the history of Kimberly-Clark in Neenah in the Fox Valley area.
Well, Kimberly-Clark was born here, so to speak, in the 1800s. Communities like the Village of Kimberly was one of their namesakes. And, of course, the industry is the paper industry, and it has driven the local economy for decades. And a lot of folks and families here throughout the years have relied on Kimberly-Clark for good-paying, family-supporting jobs. And it's companies like Kimberly-Clark, as well as the rest of the paper industry, that are largely responsible for pulling generations into the middle class. So it has a lot to do with our success in terms of the economy and jobs, but it also goes to culture. We are the Paper Valley. It's not called that for nothing. There is the Kimberly Papermakers right down the way who are now in the football championship. So this has so much to do with who we are, the cultural implications, the economy, social, and so forth. So it's a pretty big deal.
And let's talk about the industry a little more. It's not, people might think paper, they're thinking pulp paper, newspaper, print, packaging. This is also paper consumer products. There's a pretty wide variety of products involved in this industry.
Yeah, that's right. And I think one of the misnomers when it comes to paper industry, folks think that this is a dying industry because they think of paper and they think of electronic substitution. But there's so much more to the paper industry. And Kimberly-Clark really is a perfect example of that. Much, if not most, of the products they do have nothing to do with electronic substitution. They are consumer products like Depends and diapers and things like that. And overall, not just Kimberly-Clark, but other mills and paper companies here in the Fox Valley, like Expira Specialty Solutions, which is the largest specialty paper maker in North America. You have Appleton Coated, and I'd like to talk about that in a few minutes, which is a local homegrown company, a paper mill, that is making the transition to brown paper grades. And that's important because that is one sector of the paper industry that is growing and is thriving. And it's also part of the industry that I believe that we're seeing right now that can grow and thrive hand in hand with new industries and businesses like Amazon. If you think of Amazon, much of what Amazon is a brown paper box on your front stoop. And it's paper makers like Appleton Coated right here in Northeast Wisconsin that are responsible for making the raw product that is used for the boxes and so forth. So the paper industry here is alive and well. The challenges that they have, I think, really come down to changes in consumer tastes and market trends. And as long as we stay ahead of the curve, paper will continue to be a very important and a growing industry here in Northeast Wisconsin, around the state and the country.
Talking to Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson about Kimberly-Clark, the company, the paper industry, and paper products industry more generally in northeastern Wisconsin. Now, Tom, this Kimberly-Clark plant closing story has come out. Over the last year, it's been a hot topic in the state legislature. I understand you've been saying there were warning signs.
That's right.
Have been on this issue earlier. How so?
That's right. You cannot dispute the fact that there was a clear trend that really goes back about a year ago. In September of 2017, Appleton Coated went into receivership. About 2 months later, Appveon, which is formerly Appleton Papers, went into bankruptcy. And about that time, a smaller converting operation called U.S. Paper Converters was going out of business, and they shut their doors December 31st of last year. A month after that, you had the news about how Kimberly-Clark was going to, quote-unquote, downsize to the tune of 5,500 jobs, not just here in America, but across the globe, because it's a global company. And the first two plants that they announced were right here in their hometown, the nonwovens facility in downtown Neenah and the Cold Spring facility in Fox Crossing. What was surprising about that is those were the first two plants that were announced right off the bat, and they're right here in Wisconsin, and they're right here in the hometown. In addition to that, Cold Spring is a state-of-the-art facility that is extremely profitable. Talking to folks at the plant, both workers and managers, the number that I hear again and again is that plant, that operation, clears almost $1 million every single day.
Yeah, sometimes you hear when there's a factory closing, and I'm thinking of, for example, the Oscar Mayer closing in Madison, that it's an older facility. We want to go to more modern facilities. Retrofitting it would be more expensive than starting new somewhere else. You're saying that wasn't the case in that plant?
It wasn't the case at all. And I think what happened with those, especially the Appleton Coated, the one that went in receivership, they were sold, and when you go into receivership, it's not like bankruptcy because the whole place shuts down. The workers are locked out. It's a very draconian version of bankruptcy. And what we did there is we took court action to compel the new owner to find a new owner that would run it like a mill. That owner, which still owns now Midwest Paper Group, found that that facility could generate revenue and be extremely profitable. And what they had to do to become profitable is they had to switch from white grades to brown grades. And see, that is the secret. And I think that is the appropriate role that the state can and should take. And that is to incentivize and to support paper companies that are trying to stay ahead of market trends, consumer tastes, by retrofitting and by transitioning to more profitable grades. That is the secret of what we need to do to make sure that paper remains a strong and vibrant industry now and for years to come. As far as Kimberly-Clark, that is a head-scratcher. It is a profitable operation. They've sunk a lot of money into that, and so people just can't, no one really knows, and no one can really answer definitively why Kimberly-Clark is in the spot that they are right now.
Let's take that to today. Now, we just had this hearing in the State Budget Committee on the idea of these subsidies. It's still up in the air. The Assembly passed to the Senate. Big question mark there. What is your take? Do you think the state should give these subsidies to Kimberly-Clark to try to keep one of these two plants open?
I think that there's a third way. I think that there's a third way solution. This issue, and specifically what has happened in the State Senate, has been out there now for 8 or 9 months. The Assembly passed at least sometime in February, then it went to the State Senate, and the State Senate has not taken action on it. So here we are 9 months later. I think a lot of people look at this issue, look at this specific bill. The fact that they have not been able to pass this in 9 months tells you, and knowing that nothing has changed, people are not optimistic, right now at least, about this bill passing. I think that there's a third way. I believe that you can craft a solution that includes not just money to entice and keep Kimberly-Clark here, but also to carve out some of those funds to establish what I've called and what other people are supporting, the Papermaker Fund. And so that's a dedicated fund that could help companies like Appleton Coated that could use the resources, that could use the capital to make the transition to brown grades, to help out Appian, to help out U.S. Paper Converters. This is most likely not, this issue is not going to end with Kimberly-Clark. There's going to continue to be challenges, and I think if we just work on a bill that only addresses one of those companies, Kimberly-Clark, we are simply going to be back where we started trying to fix another problem. Now, I should say that I've been very heartened by what Governor-elect Tony Evers has been saying about the industry, and that is what, and that we need an industry-wide solution. We don't need another Foxconn. We have to support Wisconsin businesses, homegrown businesses that have supported communities, that have built up the middle class for decades now. And that's how we have to attack the issue and the challenge with the paper industry right now.
Talking to Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson about Wisconsin's struggling paper products industry, in some cases not so struggling, he says, as lawmakers debate an incentive package aimed at keeping a Kimberly-Clark plant open in the Fox Cities area. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you or someone you know work at one of these Kimberly-Clark plants in Neenah or Fox Crossing or in the paper industry in the Fox Valley in general? Or do you work or live in the area? What does it mean if these plants in particular close? How do you see the role of the paper and paper products industry fitting in to that part of the state? Or if you've seen the paper industry grow go away where you are, the local paper mill shut down in your part of the state, love to hear from you about how that's impacted your community. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation with Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson talking about Kimberly-Clark, possible subsidies, and where the paper and paper products industry fits in northeastern Wisconsin. You can join in and join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, and experiences. That's 800-642-1234. To your calls now, Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. I know there's been quite a bit of controversy in comparison of Foxconn and Kimberly-Clark, and I know the paper industry has been hard on the environment, but with Foxconn, what I understand is they're changing laws, and they're saying, well, we're going to change wetlands and going to build wetlands here, which isn't necessarily going to work out well either. So as far as if the Kimberly-Clark plant stays, is it going to be changed, or is it going to be the same as before?
Well, that's a good question. I should just kind of clarify. So the Cold Spring facility is a paper converting operation. So they're not making a commodity. They're not actually making the paper. They're taking the raw material and creating a product. In this case, that depends on undergarments. So that's what's happening at Cold Spring. The idea is if they get this money, about $70 million over 15 years, that it would stay open and that there's a possibility that they would continue to invest in the facility. I think a number of company officials has said it could be as much as $500 million. But outside of that, I haven't heard many more specifics.
And on the environmental side of things, Tom, how does that is that an ongoing concern with the paper industry, the paper product industry in your part of the state?
Well, I think it was a concern up until about 10, 20 years ago. This is an industry that has really evolved into a clean industry that has many environmental safeguards and practices, much different than maybe it was like 50 or 60 years ago. We had the issue with the PCB cleanup, and that goes back about 20, 25 years ago. Much of that cleanup, most of that cleanup has already been taken care of. So to answer Dennis's question, no, the answer is no, that this is not a concern.
Thanks for the call. We'll go now to Andrew in Green Bay. Andrew, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Good. So I'm a beginning farmer up in Green Bay, and one of the things that I'm really excited about is the new hemp bill that went in, and I've been trying to think about ways that we can utilize hemp in Wisconsin, and I think paper is one of those things that we could absolutely take and convert some of the byproducts into, and especially this Cold Springs facility that you're talking about where it's taking raw material and turning it into a potential paper product. Why not put hemp in there?
Andrew, thanks. Is there room for hemp in the northeastern Wisconsin paper industry?
Quite possibly, and I really appreciate Andrew's comment and question. That's exactly what I'm trying to get at. We need to think creative. We need to stay ahead of these market trends. And we also need to think about, okay, what are different processes and what can we do? I mean, what is the future of paper? And I think thinking creatively about how we can marry these industries, whether it's a hemp and paper or any number of combinations. So that's what we need out there. We need people like Andrew who are asking questions like that, who are thinking creatively. And then the state's role is to take some of these ideas, folks in industry, folks in labor who are coming to the table saying, look, you know, this is what we can do. This is the future. And then support that. I think that is the right and proper role of the state. And that's kind of like what we did with Appleton Coated last year, although it's quite different because we didn't get any state support. But But the folks at Appleton Coated, with Doug Osterberg and Denny Lauer from the USW and John Geenan and Mike Bolton, they said, look, you know, this can be these three paper machines. If we get some support, if we get some capital, we can convert this to a brown paper operation. They did that, and the orders have been coming in hand over fist. They're making money. They retained about 300 jobs. The sky is the limit. So I think what Andrew's talking about, his proposal, I can't speak specifically to how hemp might figure into the paper industry, but he's definitely on the right track. So thank you, Andrew, for that question. Appreciate it.
And Tom, just in our last minute or so, is there a UW role when you think about the discovery of ways to measure butterfat up to biotech? Is there a similar role for UW Green Bay or UW Oshkosh in researching these future trends you've been talking about?
Exactly. Another great comment and really good idea. One of the things I was talking about, we were talking about a year ago, we lost about 30 years ago, we lost the Institute of Paper Chemistry right down the river here in Appleton to Georgia Tech. And that loss, I think, stung back then, and I think we are still feeling the repercussions because that's where the innovation goes. If we want the paper industry to thrive, if we want to be strong, not just now, but 10 years or 20 years down the road, we need to have a center of research, development, and education. The Institute for Paper Chemistry did that here in the Fox Valley, in the Paper Valley, up until about 25 or 30 years ago. Stevens Point has got a great program. We need to support those programs there. We need to engage the good folks at Lawrence University, at UW-Fox, at UW-GB, and we need to connect them to industry. Once we do that, we can help secure the future of paper. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good to be on.
That's Tom Nelson, Outagamie County Executive, former Democratic state lawmaker, with us to talk about Kimberly Clark's history in Wisconsin as lawmakers consider a $70 million incentive package to keep one of its Fox Cities plants open. Today is the release of the Coen Brothers' newest film, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. It'll be available on Netflix and in select theaters across the country. Adam Naiman is a film critic and contributor to The Ringer, pop culture website. He's also the author of The Coen Brothers. This book really ties the films together. He reviewed their new film for Wisconsin Public Radio.
Joel and Ethan Coen's new film, or their new anthology, is called The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. And originally, people heard about it and thought that it was going to be like a miniseries with six long episodes. But in fact, they're each about 20 minutes long. It runs a little over 2 hours. And each of them are stories that are sort of set in the American West. And they're almost like foundational myths or primal scenes that account for where American life is now. I mean, that's how I read it.
People are so easily distracted. So I'm the distractor with a little story.
People can't get enough of them.
Because, well, they connect the stories to themselves, I suppose.
You know, you have a character like Buster Scruggs in the first episode, who's this singing Roy Rogers cowboy played by Tim Blake Nelson, who's quite charming until he becomes frightening. And he's this weird contradiction of someone who on the one hand represents the fun of the Old West and on the other represents kind of its violence.
Buster Scruggs. I got other handles, nicknames, appellations, and cognomens, but this one here I don't consider to be even halfway earned. Misanthrope. I don't hate my fellow man, even when he's tiresome and surly and tries to cheat at poker. I figure that's just the human material.
There's an episode featuring Liam Neeson as the proprietor of a traveling show that I would not dream of spoiling, but which as it plays out really seems to be about waning values of art and culture within a commercial marketplace. They have an episode set on a wagon train on the Oregon Trail, which is of course all about manifest destiny and about trying to found the country.
Okay. There's a pocket up there. How far, we don't know. You're up there. Okay, Mr. Pocket. I'm a comer.
And I think what unites these episodes, because they don't connect as a story, they're all independent of each other, is this theme, I think, about mortality and frailty and death, which sounds heavy. And I should say that aspects of this film are quite funny and aspects of this film are quite charming.
People are not the same. There are two kinds, utterly distinct.
And what would those be, madam?
Upright and sinning.
I challenge your credentials, madam, for assessing human worth. People are like ferrets.
But as the Coens have gotten older, they've started dealing with death more directly. And I think that in the guise of making a popular, accessible Netflix show, they've done something quite severe and quite serious. And I think its best moments are up there with the best stuff that they've ever done. So I think that it's something that's definitely worth seeing.
Well, we'll just have to see, won't we?
I had a dream last night.
What was that about ferrets? Adam Neiman is the author of The Coen Brothers. This book really ties the films together. You can catch a full interview with Adam about the entire Coen Brothers film catalog on WPR's Beta. It'll air Saturday, December 1st at 11 a.m. Coming up Monday on Central Time, Reduce, Reuse, Reimagine. Our guest says we need to rethink our approach to recycling, starting with the ways we make and buy stuff in the first place. The author of the new book, Vegan Strong, tells us how a vegan diet can fuel an active lifestyle and helps resolve issues around the holiday meal. And we'll meet the newest inductees into the Toy Hall of Fame. You can call in with your favorite toys and the memories they bring back for you. That and more coming up Monday right here on Central Time.